Good morning, Rabbi Isai. We continue our limud of halacha, and in particular what we're learning at the moment, which is the dinim of Shabbos, the hamalachas of Shabbos as compared to the milachas of Yom Tov. And our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah shleima of Yosef Dov ben Chayla B'Sor Shechol Yisrael. Amen. So Chazal were very worried. Chazal were worried that a person will feel that Yom Tov is lighter, that Yom Tov is less severe, that Yom Tov is less important than Shabbos. First of all, the Onshim are much lighter. The Mezid is only Malkus compared to Misa. The Shogeg is nothing, no punishment bidei Odom compared to Echatos. And then Beher Lamachas, if you do many Melochas, Beher Lamachas on Shabbos, then you have to bring many Chatois. Whereas if you do many Melochas, Beher Lamachas, when you, in one situation of not knowing, for instance, I didn't know it was Yom Tov today, and therefore I did 10 Melochas, then if it's Shabbos, then you'd have to bring 10 Chatois. And if it's Yom Tov, you only have to bring one Chatos, and that will be Mechaper for all the 10 Melochas that he did. So therefore you can see that Yom Tov is a lot lighter in Onshim and in severity, if you like, than Shabbos. Secondly, we've learnt that you're allowed to do Melecha Soichal Nefesh on Yom Tov. So a person will feel that Yom Tov is not as severe and not as important, if you like, as Shabbos, and therefore a person will come to be Mezalzel in Yom Tov. He won't have the same respect for Yom Tov that he has for Shabbos. So Chazal were very worried about that. They were worried, for instance, that if I allow you to cook on Yom Tov, you'll say to yourself like this, I've got 8 days of Yom Tov, I've got loads of time on my hands, I've got long afternoons when I've got nothing to do, I'm allowed to cook and bake, so you know what, I'll fill the freezer. I'll spend all day cooking, I'll spend all day baking, I'll fill the freezer. Well, I'll cook for today and I'll cook for tomorrow. I'll cook for on Yom Tov, I'll cook for Shabbos. On Shabbos, I'll cook for Sunday. And Chazal were worried that a person, because he's got time on his hands, and Yom Tov he feels is not so chomor, therefore he's going to spend all this time cooking and baking. And therefore Chazal brought in various takonos. Some of them were a smach on psukim that they learnt out from psukim, and some were just the machshava of Chazal. And they said that we're going to do certain things which... well, certain things to remind you, if you like, or to encourage the person to think that Yom Tov is important and that you can't do exactly what you want. For instance, on Yom Tov, you can only cook what you need for today. That's one of the rules. The second rule, for instance, is that everything that you do on Yom Tov has to have a tzorech katzas of Yom Tov. I need some need for Yom Tov. This is the whole discussion that we already mentioned. For instance, if I'm going out to Mincha and I want to put my keys in my pocket because I need them for tonight when I come home after Maariv. So the problem is I don't have a Tzorech, besides the question of Hachona from one day to the other, that I'm walking to Shul with my keys on one day Yom Tov and I'm coming home on the second day Yom Tov. So there's a Hachona there in the Melocha of Havora in carrying my keys from home to Shul on the way to Mincha for tomorrow. But besides that, I've also got a problem that I don't have any Tzorech for these keys on the first day Yom Tov. When I'm walking to Shul, I'm carrying a bunch of keys in my pocket for which I have no purpose whatsoever. In shul, I don't need the keys. On the return journey, I'll need the keys when I get home, but today I don't need. So therefore, I don't even have a tzorech katzas. So Chazal said, everything that you do on Yom Tov needs to have a tzorech katzas for Yom Tov. So you can't be meichin from one day to the other, and you can't be meichin from Yom Tov to Shabbos, or from Yom Tov to Chol. It needs to have a tzorech katzas, some sort of a need for Yom Tov. Plus, you can't be meichem Yom Tov lachavera. Again, they learned out from Sukkim veichinu es asher yaviu. They learned it out from Sukkim as well. But I'll call upon him. Chazal are bringing in takonos in order to preserve the kedusha of Yom Tov, in order to tell a person that although it's Yom Tov, and although Yom Tov is not as chomor as Shabbos, legabas onshim, and other things like that, nevertheless, we are going to preserve the Kedusha of Yom Tov. Chazal are going to make takonos so that a person will give the proper respect, the covet for Yom Tov.
announcement.
Have you got a sheet? So we'll try and do this by heart. Help me, Rabbi Isai. Right. Yes, okay. Terry Way, North West London. Tuesday. Which day of her? What? It's 30th of May, therefore it is the 18th. Hi. Of ER?
No. Hi was Lag BaOmer.
Hi was Lag BaOmer. Kafes. It's the other way around. It's 2 days ahead. Okay. Kafes. ER. Rav Shlomi Yitzchak Bixen Spana Shlita. Megillas Rus, Perek Gimel.
We've got the thing on. We've got that.
Yeah, everything is on. Just need this if I can. Sorry, the person usually does it with my head.
Today, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to discuss a topic on Megillas Rus, and we're going to be focusing on Perek Gimel. There are many reasons why we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. One of the reasons that we find is the Gemara says in Masechta Sota Daf Yudalad, Dorash Rav Simloi, Torah Chilosa Gemilas Chasodim, V'Soifa Gemilas Chasodim. The Torah, the beginning of it is Gemilas Chasodim, as we see, Vayas Hashem Elokim LaAdam Elokishto Kostnas Oir Vayalbishem. The Ribbon Shalom was Malbish Arumim. V'Soifa Gemilas Chasodim, the Chsev, Vayigbor Oisoi Vagai, the Ribbon Shalom was Oisek in Halvoyas Hameis, in Kavuras Hameis. The Chofetz Chaim, in the beginning of his Sefer, Ahavas Chesed, goes through many, many places in the Torah. It says, even though Chazal say Tchilosa V'Soifa, but there are numerous times in the Torah where we find the Indian of Chesed throughout the Torah. And he starts explaining that Gemilas Chasodim, some people think it only applies to monetary loans, but he says that's not correct. Gemilas Chasodim, you can be mischased by mamoino, you can be mischased by gufoi. Gemilas Chasodim applies to lachayim, it applies lamesim. Gemilas Chasodim encompasses many, many parts and many places in the Torah. And the Chofetz Chaim goes through many different places taki in the Torah. And he says, what does this teach us? It teaches us, Eich shekol ha-Torah meleya min yonah chesed, kdei sheizboin in ha-odom, you see, because of all these times that we find the Inyan of Chesed in the Torah, that's an indication, kevayochel, what the Noisin HaTorah intends, his intention is, that we should have many oifanim of Chesed and keep on doing Chesed. And it's very interesting to see how, after the Chofetz Chaim goes through pages and pages of examples, he says, "Achakach is boynanti, shebeemes ein keitz leinyonay achesed sheyesh b'toyre." Besides all the stories that he mentions, kama v'kama mitzvos, he says, are because of the inyan of Chesed. Hakol noivea, it all stems from the inyan of Chesed. Leket shikcha peya maser oni shmita. This week's parsha that the Torah says, Avada, the Indian of Shemitah is that the land should lay fallow, but we also find, V'ochlu evyoinei amecho. So Shemitah again is an Indian of Chesed. And then you have Prika, Te'ina, and so on and so forth. And at some point, the Chofetz Chaim says, because of all these things, Monati es atzmi milach shev'oid v'feresh kol ha-makoymus. In other words, I stopped thinking and enumerating because it's endless. Basically, I can rewrite the whole Torah because the Torah is full of inyonim of Chesed. Now, Megillas Rus, we find in a Medrash, there's a Medrash Rabbah that says, Amar Rav Zeira, Megillah zu ein ba loy tuma veloy tahara. There's no halachas of tuma v'tahara. Loy isse veloy hete. Velo ma nichtav al lamdach kamos char toiv legoim loy chasodim. The Indian of Megillah Sirus is an example of Gemilas Chasodim, and we find in a few places in Perek Beis it says Baruch Hu Hashem Asheloi Ozav Chasto Es Achaim Ves Amesim. That's what Naomi said when Boaz was treating her and giving her the food that she needed. Later on in Perek Gimel, which we're discussing today, it says Hey Taft. The fact that Ruth herself chose to stay in Klal Yisrael and she didn't and also she chose to listen to her mother-in-law who to go out with, in other words, Lilti Lechas Achreya Bachurim Im Dalve Im Osher. So we see that there's an Indian of Chesed in Megillah Ruth. So right there we have a connection that Shavuos is the Yontav of Kabbalah HaTorah, and Torah is full of Chesed, and Ruz is also full of Chesed. But the Emes is, there's another aspect, which is a bit deeper. There is, as we know, the Ramah brings a minig that on Shavuos we eat Macholei Cholov, we eat Milchiks. And the question is why? There are numerous reasons of why we eat Milchiks. But there's a beautiful reason, the Bnei Soscha says, that the reason we eat milchiks is because there's a famous Tosfos Yontif in Masechtas Brachos Perek Zayin where he asks the question, why is it that when we bench and we do zimun, we say, Baruch Nevorach Elokeinu She'achalnu Mishaloi? And why, when it comes to the Aliyah LaTorah, we say, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavoyrach? In other words, why by Berachas HaMazon we say Elokeinu, and why by Bracha LaTorah we say Hashem? So he says, because Mozoin is something that the Ribbono Shel Olam had to give us. Because as the Gemara says in Tanis, Man de Yoav Chaya, Yoav Mozoina, which means if the Ribbono Shel Olam brought us down to this world and he created us that we need sustenance, we need food in order to be able to exist. So if we're here, he has to give us food. But when it comes to Torah, Torah was given only b'chesed. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't have to give us the Torah. There were many contenders that wanted the Torah. The Malachim wanted the Torah. Tenehoit Chalal Shemoyim. But the Ribbono Shel Olam decided in his ultimate kindness to give us the Torah. So that's why when it comes to benching we say Nevarach Elokeinu. Elokeinu is Din. But when it comes to the Inyan of Torah we say Baruch Hu Es Hashem. Hashem is Midas HaRachmim. Says the Bnei Soschar Cholov is Rosh HaTevis Lahagid Baboiker Chastecho. So that's why we eat Macholei Cholov, to show that we appreciate the Chesed that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us by giving us the Torah. And according to this, we have another reason. In other words, Torah is Chesed. It was given through Chesed. And Megillas Ruth is also Chesed, and therefore, it's a reason that we read it on Shavuos. Now, besides the chesed that we mentioned before, as the Pasuk says, chasteich, that in the chesed of Boaz, and the chesed of Ruth, there's another aspect of chesed, which we see in Perek Gimel, which this is what we're going to focus on, and it's also very much connected to this week's parasha. There's a very big question of what happened, in other words, how did Boaz come to marry Ruth? What were the events? You know, what led to the inyan that they got married? So the pasuk tells us in Perek Gimel that her mother-in-law gave her this idea that she should go and introduce herself, maybe not in such a conventional way, but she should introduce herself to Boaz. So that's what she did. And she came at night when he was sleeping, and she came next to him. So the pasuk says that vahi vachzi halaylo vayechrat ha'ish v'hine isha shecheves margeloisav vayoymer miot. Who are you? Batoymer. So she says, anoichi rus amosecho. I am rus. V'uforastoch nofecho al amoscho. I want you to marry me. Ki goyel oto. You are a goyel. So what is the inyan of a goyel? What exactly was her taina? What was her tevia that he's obligated? Why is he obligated? So Rashi brings a pasuk in this week's parasha, in Parashas Bahar, where the Torah tells us as follows. The Torah says, "V'chiyamuch achicha," a person is going through hard times, "umachar me'achuzosoy," and he has to sell his land. And we're talking about a time where people had Yerusha. In other words, this is a parcel of land that has been in the family for ages and ages, then generations and generations. And unfortunately, this person hit upon hard times and he has to sell his land. Says the Torah, there's a mitzvah, uva goy aloy hakorev elov v'goal esmim kar ochiv, that a korev should come, hakorev elov, he should come and he should be goyel mimkar ochiv, which means that he has to pay the money that the land is worth. And Rashi says, v'eina yochel ha'akul, l'keach can't say, I'm sorry, I bought this land, I needed it, whatever it is. Not every land is for sale, as we know. So he can say, I'm sorry, it's not for sale. So here the Torah is mechadesh adin, that Korov has a right to be goyel the land on behalf of his Korov. And the reason is because that is the best and the nicest way of helping a Korov. There's a whole big shaila whether the Korov has to pay him back or not. What halacha is, it's a whole sugyim sechtes kedushin. We have the same thing, we'll see in a minute, by Eved. If a person has to sell himself as a Eved, there's also a din of being goyelim. And there's a whole big machloikis in the Gemara, whether once the Korev is goyelim, he redeems him, what happens? Does he go free? Or does he have to work now for the Korev that redeemed him? And there's two machloikas there between Tanoim, two svaras. One svara is that, you know, someone that knows he has wealthy family, he's going to go and sell himself off, and the next day, he'll be scot-free. A week later, he'll do it again, and he'll keep on doing it. So if he knows that, yes, we'll redeem you once, and then you're going to stay until Yovel, you're going to be a slave to the Korod, then you'll think twice. And then there's another svara. But Lemaisa, we see that this inyan of Geula is something that the Torah definitely wants to happen, because that is a tremendous chesed that you can do for family. And the Torah says that if a person had to sell his land, then the Torah says, ve'ishke lo yelo goyel, if he doesn't have, and Rashi says, what do you mean he doesn't have? That he doesn't have anyone that can afford it. So he has to, you know, try to be able to raise the money in order. Then we have another parsha in the Torah, in this week's parsha, where the Torah says, which means that a goy who is living in Eretz Yisrael legally, because he was mekabel not to do avodah zarah, ger toishav. And the Torah says v'chisasig, which means that he makes it in this world, as we say. But, and unfortunately, umach achicha imoy, that a yid falls upon hard times and he has to sell himself off. So the Torah says achre nimkar geula tialoi. You have to give him a chance. Echad me echav yigolenu. And the Torah says oy doidoi, oy ven doidoi, yigolenu, oy mishair besaroi. The Torah gives us an options of family, different family members who can come and can redeem him. Now, it's quite obvious that there is something missing between these two parshas, which is one is Sedeach Lezosoy, and one is the Indian of Eved. There's a very stark difference in the fact of Oy Doidoy Oy Ven Doidoy. By the inyan of a Sdeach Uzosoi, all the Torah says is Uvagoy Adoy Akorev Elov. It doesn't say Doidoy, Ben Doidoy, She'er Besoroi. It just says Ga'aloy Akorev Elov. But when it comes to the inyan of an Eved, there the Torah says Oy Doidoy, Oy Ven Doidoy. The Rashba in Masechtas Kiddushin brings up this Nekuda, And he says as follows. He says, Mistabra, that when the Torah says, Uvogoy aloi hakorev elov, what does that mean? It means that it's a whole sugya. We're not going to go into the sugya, but the bottom line of the Rashba is that when it comes to the inyan of a soda, if you have a doidoy, there's an uncle, and he cannot afford it, and there's a ben doidoy who can afford it, the field stays by the lukeach. Why? Because by the inyan of eved, the Torah says oy doidoy, oy ven doidoy, oy misher besaroy, which means that if there's no option of the doidoy because he can't afford it, so you go to the ben doidoy. If the ben doidoy can't afford it, you go to the sheir besaroy. By the inyan of a field, says the Rashba, in ben doidoy omid, v'doidoy eina omid, einoy nigal. Because the doido is first, if he can't afford it, then it stops there. As I talk to Rashi. Now, Rashi in Rus explains that what was Rus's taina to Boaz. So let's quote the Rashi. Rashi says, Ki goyel oto, li goyel nachlas ishi kemoy shenemar, uvo goy aloy akorev elo v'goal. So Rashi brings the parsha of Sleach Uzo. V'chamoisi v'ani tzrichos limkor nachaloseinu. V'ata olecha liknois knei gam oisi imo shiyizoch v'shem ha-meisa nachalosei. So here we have a few nakudas. Number one, she was saying that we have land to sell, and because we have land to sell, you are the goyel. Now, the question is, first of all, what kind of land do they have to sell? What land belonged to Nomi and to Rus? Let's try to see Alpi Din Torah. Elimelech, he was a wealthy man. He had fields. He had two sons. Both of his sons died. Who gets the Yerusha? The brothers, in other words, if there's no children, the brothers get it. Where does Nomi and Rus come into you? How do they have land? Zog the Malbim, and the Alshech says the same thing, that this was their kesuba, which means that when they got married, they were promised a kesuba, and in the kesuba, there was the land that they were talking about. And with that, the Malbim explained something fascinating. Because we see in Rus, in Perek Dalet, when they were talking about redeeming the land, it says, Chelkas hasode asher la'ochinu et lelimelech. Mochronomi. So the question is, what's Chelkas hasode? So the Ebenezer says, probably he only had part of the land. So the Malbim says, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean, only part of the land? Then why are you calling it Chelkas HaSodah, right? If someone has a piece of land in a big field, then his land is his land. What's Chelkas HaSodah, right? If it's the whole world, Sadna Da'ara Chadhu, right? So if someone owns a property in London, does it mean that he has part of London? No, he has a property which has a number, and this is his property in Gendik. What's Chelkas HaSodah? So says the Malbim, Chelkas HaSodah means that Elimelech had a field, but he had to give part of it belong to Rus and to Nomi, B'Toyres Ksuba. That's a different... Not everyone says that, but Moichel was only Rus. That's the Chesed, but that's a different Mahalach. We're not going with that Mahalach. The Malbim doesn't go with that Mahalach. The Alshech goes with that Mahalach. Anyway, so Lemaisa, you have here a parcel of land that belongs to Nomi and to Rus. Now, the question is that the Makna, the Baal HaFlo, who wrote a Sefer on Kiddushin, asks, if that's the case, why did they need to, in other words, what obligation did these Goy Alim have? these guys, the Boaz was a very far Goyal. In other words, as we know, as we will see in Perek Dalet, they were much closer Goyalim. So, according to what we said before, that by Yesoda, right, the Rashba says that by Yesoda, it's the first, the closest Yoyrish who has this obligation, but if he doesn't have the money, even if there's someone else that has, it's not Nigal, why here there was a Taina? Says the Makna and others that Be'etzem, this is why they had to make a Kinyan. That's why the whole din of the Kinyan that happened in Perek Dalet is because through the Kinyan, the Boaz was Bimkoim, the closest Yoyrish. That's what the Kinyan accomplished. So, again, so according to what we just saw, as Rashi says, that she had a Taina that Mitzad din of Vo Goyaloi, but Mitzad Vo Goyaloi, it wouldn't have been Boaz, but the Kinyan accomplished that Boaz stood in instead of the closest Yoyrish. Now, the question that some Afarshim have on this whole Mahalach is that L'chayre, we saw before, when does this din apply? When it was sold. Not that someone sold. Here, they didn't sell yet. Right? They wanted someone to buy it, and that's what Boaz did. But they didn't sell it yet. So how do you have that din? So perhaps we can suggest a new Mahalach about it, based on what we said, but a new Nekuda here. There is a famous Ramban, where the Ramban talks about a pasuk in this week's parsha, Vashe Yigal Min Halavim. So the question is, what's Vashe Yigal Min Halavim? So Rashi says, he'll buy. Now, since when does buying, is buying expressed with the Loshen Geula? Says the Ramban, Hoya lefonim b'Yisrael. There was a standing minig, an unwritten minig. Kishetzorech adam limker sadeu. Even before, in other words, even though the Torah talks about once it was sold, the nimkar. Here's no. Even before a person needs to sell, sheyavoy hakoydem b'Yerushalse v'yikno isa. In other words, he should. We're not talking about giving your karev the first right of refusal. We're talking about actually this Korev would come and he would buy the field. This way, it's a blot in the Mishpoch, as we say. And down the road, he'll be able to redeem it at the same price that he sold it, because the Korev is not going to look to make money on him and to make profit on him. And he says that this has the same idea of Bar Metzra. Just like by Bar Metzra, we give the Bar Metzra, the neighbor, we give him the first right. The same way they said, Hoyedoneloi din kadima, and he says that this was what Boaz did, and that's why it's called Vashe Yigal min Halavim. That the Indian of buying a field, we wanted to make sure that it stays in the family, and therefore it's called Geula. Azoizog the Ramban. There's another Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev where the Ramban speaks about the story with Yehuda and Tamar. What happened that was Er, and then when Er died, he told Oinon that she should marry Tamar. V'yabim oisa, v'hokem zera la'ochicha. So Rashi says, how so? V'hokem zera la'ochicha. Habein yikorei al shem hames. That is that's how they're going to perpetuate the memory. Zog the Ramban, I don't agree. Because you look in, but by the story of Rus, they also use the Loshen, Konisi lila isha lahokim shem hames al nachlosoi, and the Maise, what was the name of the baby that was born? Oyved. And it wasn't Machloin, right? It should have been Machloin according to the Indian of Hakim Shem. Zog the Ramban, another Yisoid, that this was something that even before the Torah was given, it was a well-known thing, that when a woman dies childless, a Korev Mishpacha should marry her. So before the Torah was given, the father was able to do it, his father, his brother, any other Korev. Once the Torah was given, so the Torah asked many Arayas, as we know, the first mission in Yevamos, the Chomesh Esrei Noshim, but the only example, the only case where it's allowed is the brother of the nifter should marry the sister-in-law in order to lahakif shame. And he says that Yehuda, this is why he did the whole story with Tamar. The reason why he married her is because of Yibum. And it's the type of Yibum which was allowed before Matan Torah. But what do we see in the Ramban? What we see in the Ramban is that besides the mitzvah of Yibum, which we have in the Torah, there is another Hanhaga Toivah, let's call it, that a family member that's allowed to marry her should marry her in order to perpetuate the memory. And Rashi says, how would it be Lahakim Shema Meis? Because people would say, this field belonged to Machloin. She's Ashes Machloin, and this way his name would still be around. So the question is, where do we find in Halacha such a type of a thing? So there's a very interesting Machloikus in the Ramah, in Choshe Mishpat Siman Yud Beis. We know that we learn out the Gemara in Baba Metzia, that there's a concept of lifnim mishuras hadin, that a person sometimes has to go lifnim mishuras hadin. Brings the Rama, the first shita says, ein bezn yecholim lokuf likones lifnim mishuras hadin. You know, yes, a person is obligated to do it, but you can't force someone. In Bezdin can't do anything. Afa pi shenera lahem shehu min haroi. Even if Bezdin feels that this is the right thing, but you can't force. V'yesh choylkim. The Rama brings a shita, it's a shita sarishoinim, that you can force someone to do lefnim mishuras hadin. So the question is, what does that mean? You know, some people have complaints about going to Beis Din. Why? Because if Beis Din is going to do a pshara, so right away that guy is a 50% winner, right? The guy came, owning nothing. He goes to Yenem, makes a case. Pshara, you get 50%. So it's a very good business. The answer is, if Bezin sees that this guy is a fake, then they don't do Pshara. But if Bezin sees that this is the correct way, then there's enough Pshara. And it could be that you're Koifa. So the question is, why? In what circumstances? So I have here at least three examples of where the Inyan of Koifin would apply. There's Aloha by Hashavas Haveda. We know that if a person loses money in a thoroughfare, so there's no din of Yesh Loi Midas because Adam also Lamashish V'Kisa Kol Sho, and a person is allowed to keep it. What would be the din if a person sees someone walking on the street and he loses £1,000 and he's watching it and he's watching the £1,000? And he goes, he picks it up. So you come ask a shayla. The halacha is, yes, you can keep it. That's the halacha by money. Says the mechaber, afa pisha min adin, b'mokam sherav goyim etzuyim, which means that there's goyim and so you can keep it. Ein echayv lahachzer toy v'yoshar lasos lifnim mishuras adin. In other words, that if you know for sure that this guy's, then the din is you have to give it back. And there's another case which everyone learned Baba Metzia, that hamatzel mezuta shaliyam, right? If there's a flood, so the halacha is if you can't save it, then you lose it. Says the Rama. And the halacha is afila habal oimed v'tzovach, right? Hare elu shaloi, because even if he's shouting, but you lost it. V'af al kav de medina in chayoven, says the Rama, toy v'yosher lahachzer. And this is the case of koifin, because you lost nothing. You have nothing to lose by giving it back. And even though you can say yikav adin esahar, but there's a din of lefnim eshuras adin, and this is the type of lefnim eshuras adin that you have to give back. Another example, which can be a common thing. What happens if a person falls upon hard times and he couldn't pay his mortgage? So what happens? The bank forecloses his property and they make an auction, right? And they sell the house to the highest bidder. May the person you know, who buys it, bids, and he gets the highest bid, can he keep it and without a guilty conscience? The answer is no. Because even though you bought it, and al pi halacha, it's bought, it's sold, that's the, you know, the bank repossessed it, but lifnei meshuras hadin, you're supposed to give it back to the owner for the full price and any expenses that you had. And this seems to have been the minig throughout the ages, that it was as we would say, an unspoken rule, that if a person hit upon hard times and he loses his house, that you cannot benefit from Yenis Tsaris. That is, again, if a person says, Yikav Adin Asahar, that's the din. But Afal Pikein, the poskim say, Roi La Bezin Lis Amaz Bedovar, that it should go back to its owner. There's a tshuva in the Beis Ephraim in regards to a person that lost his schoira, was confiscated. The government confiscated the schoira for whatever reason. And someone has an opportunity, right? Because they confiscate schoira not to destroy it. We're not talking about illegal things. We're talking about schoira that, whatever reason, he didn't pay the duty, the VAT, whatever it is, and the government confiscated it. And you want to go and you have an opportunity here. Says the Beis Ephraim that mechiyuvim lahachzir mitzad ha-takona. There's a takona that you have to give it back and you cannot benefit from it. And he says, v'cheinu be'emes ma'asim b'chol yoyim, that this is the common, the good practice. And he brings many maramekoymus, and he says, it's v'sisa yosha v'atoiv, l'man teilech b'derech toivim, v'im eina roitze, dainina laik mitzad ha-takona. In other words, this is an unwritten rule that you have to do it. So this is another example of chesed, that even though Boaz was not obligated to marry her, because as we said, it's not halacha, he's not a brother that has to do yibim or chalitza. And he also doesn't have to redeem the land, because it's, you know, he's already a far cousin, but afal pi kein, there's an inyan of lifnei meshuras hadin, which is what Boaz followed, and that is why it's called chesed. This is a tremendous chesed. The greatest chesed that a person can do is to help a person bederech kovod. Now, obviously, a person hit upon hard times and he's losing his house, if people can get together and help him, you know, have the house, avada. But here we're talking about, he's going to pay for it. But you're not going to make money on it. You're not going to, even though the house went up in value and you can sell it for much more, but you're not losing anything. By the fact that you're giving it to him at the your cost, you're not losing anything. And that is what a person needs to do. And this is what we learn in this week's parasha and in the whole Indian of Rus, that the whole essence, in other words, most people get stuck in the first two prokim, because that's where the story is with Elimelech and then with Rus coming back. And, you know, people don't always get to the second part of Megillas Rus, where we learn about this whole transaction and what happened and why it happened and how Boaz knew that he's not the first, but he gave the first right of refusal to the Goyel, the Ploini Almoini, because of this inyan, because that is a practice of a Erlich Yid that they try to help. We know the Torah, there's a pasuk from Sarcha Al Tisalem, that you have to try to help family as much as you can, and this is all part of what the Torah tells us about Uvogoy Aloy Akorevelov, and then later Doidov and Doido Yigolenu, to give a person a chance to get back on his feet, and that is the biggest chesed. And that is why we learn and read Megillas Rus on Shavuos, because as we explained, the Torah is about chesed, and Megillas Rus is about chesed, and as the Chofetz Chaim says, by the fact that we see how the Torah keeps on writing and so many things that are involved with chesed, we see how important the inyan of chesed is kviyochel to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as the Pasuk says, Olam chesed yibona.
Does that mean that when Rus came to him, he changed me both tainas, marry me and the chenik.
Mitzat lefnei meshuras hadin, yeah. Both. Look at Rashi. Rashi says that, right, yeah. That she said, you're a goyel, so you should buy the land of Naomi and my land and myself as well.
When did she get that land? They lived in my